to page 613. Page 613 is Psalm 110.
Psalm 110, starting from verse 1. Of David, a psalm. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. Arrayed in holy splendor, your young men will come to you, like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sophie. One of the read our morning passage from Acts chapter 2, page 1093, if you turn to your Bibles.
Thank you, Steve. Can I add my welcome to Steve's? I'm the pastor, the vicar here, so you're very welcome this morning, especially any visitors this morning. And we do have a couple of visitors from Sarah and Kurum's family, and the family are grieving this week after Sarah's mother died earlier this week. So we should pray for them in their grief before I read from the Bible. Let's just pray for them. Almighty God, we thank you that you are a God who knows all things. Nothing is a surprise to you. You have determined the day for each of us when our lives will end. We thank you as well that the Bible makes it clear that death is a time of grief for us, and that is right to grieve. We pray for Sarah and the wider family as they grieve after her mother's death. We thank you that she was a lady who had faith in Jesus. We pray that that fact would give comfort to Sarah and the family. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. This is Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he, God, would place one of his, David's, descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, And we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David didn't ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number, that to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please keep your Bibles open. Joel's going to come and speak to us from that passage.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Shall we pray before we start? Yeah, Father God, we thank you that you're a God who has shown your love towards us and lifted us up. Thank you for your love in Christ, that you have delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we don't need to fear because, as Jesus said, our Father is pleased to give us his kingdom and all his riches. And we have come here because we have lifted us up and called us to walk in your ways. Thank you that you have started this journey for us. But some of us are grieving, some of us are perplexed, some of us are worried and troubled and concerned about our futures. And we pray that even today, as we look into your word, that your love will lift us up, that you will comfort us, you will guide us, you will strengthen us for our journey ahead. Continue to bless us through your word, shine the light of your truth to all of us. For those who are looking into the truths of the scriptures, even today we pray your love will enable them to come into your kingdom. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, please do keep your Bibles open. We'll look at the passage today from Acts chapter 2. So imagine you're at a public town hall meeting. You know, people are chatting, many are distracted, others are half listening. A person stands near you, asking a few quiet questions about local issues, housing, jobs, schools. You assume they are just another attendee, so you give short casual answers and move on. Later on, someone whispers to you, "Can't you even recognize this person? He's Keir Starmer, our country prime minister." Now rewind the moment, but this time you know who he is from the beginning. Your response would likely change. You would think more carefully what you want to say. You might bring up a serious concern affecting your council, your community. You would try to be clear and persuasive. And what can he give is completely different from an ordinary person. He can influence policy. He can direct funding or attention to issues. He can raise your concern at a national level. So the same interaction has two different outcomes. If he is just a person, small talk, no real impact. If he is recognized as a leader, meaningful conversation, potential real world change. The core idea is this: recognizing someone's authority or importance doesn't just change your behavior. It changes the scale of what can happen through that relationship. In today's Bible passage, we see Peter, one of Jesus' early followers, speaking about Jesus as King and Savior. Peter explains that when people turn to God and acknowledge Jesus as King, it changes what can happen through that new relationship. We'll look at today's Bible passage based on 3 points. Jesus is God's King and Savior. That's the first point we are looking at. So this talk that was given by one of Jesus' followers after Jesus' death and resurrection. And this is the first recorded public speech by Jesus' followers. Now, it takes place when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak in many languages. So if you look down at Acts chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, so it says, people from many nations were in Jerusalem, and each one heard the message in their own language. They drew a crowd together in amazement. So the crowd gathers because of what the Holy Spirit has done. But Peter uses this moment to speak about Jesus. So in verse 22, in today's passage, if you look down, Peter says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. So the word accredited means shown to have authority. Peter reminds them that these miracles were not hidden. They already knew about them. Then he makes a striking contrast. If you look at verse 22, he has mentioned you yourself know, if you can see, you know him. And then verse 23, he says, you killed him. And verse 24, he says, but God raised him up from the dead. And it's just not a temporary rising up from the dead that Jesus would die again after 20 or 30 years. Peter emphasizes that it is impossible for death to hold Jesus. So you can see in verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. And this leads Peter to quote from the Psalms written by King David about 1,000 years earlier. You know, David spoke of one who would not be abandoned to death or to see decay. But Peter makes it clear, David was not speaking about himself. So if you look down verse 29, he says, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. So Peter understands he's talking to Israelites who are in Jerusalem, and they know that King David has died and his burial place is there for everyone to see. His body has gone decayed and he's dead. But Peter makes it clear, David was not speaking about himself. In verse 29, in verse 30 and 31, Peter explains that David, as a prophet, was pointing towards the Messiah. So if you look down verse 30, for he was a prophet, so it talks about David, and he knew that God has promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. So what we saw, so from verse 25 onwards, Peter talks about the things that David has said, and now verse 31, Peter points out that all that David has said is about the Messiah. He spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that is one of his descendant David's descendants, whose body would not see decay. So Peter's argument is this: Jesus, a descendant of David, was raised to life by God to fulfill that promise. So that promise is in, yeah, you can see that what David has said in verse 27, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. And then Peter goes on to reinforce this again with another psalm, showing that David himself did not ascend to heaven, but it's one of his descendant Messiah who did this. So that's a psalm that Sophie kindly read for us, some Psalm 110 that Peter quotes again. You can see, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And then Peter goes on to conclude in verse 36. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So the first century Israelites crucified crucified Jesus, and they put him to death. But what Peter points out is this Jesus, whom the first century Israelites crucified and put to death on a cross, is the same Jesus. God has raised him up, but has also lifted him up to the right hand of God in the heavenly realms, and he has made him both Lord and Messiah. Messiah just means that he is God's appointed king in the line of David, who is going to rule forever. So in other words, what Peter was saying to the first century Israelites was, you did not execute a criminal on the cross. You have crucified God's eternal king, who is going to rule and reign over the universe forever. Peter was talking to some in the audience who have killed Jesus, but he boldly proclaimed that Jesus is king, because that is the truth. How did the crowd respond to Peter and his message? That we'll see under our second heading. People should turn back to God. So now we look at verse 37. So the crowds that heard him, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? When the people heard this, they were cut to their hearts and they asked this question, what shall we do? And we see Peter responding to them saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Repent means we need to turn back. We are not going the direction God wants us to go. So that's what Peter was telling to the first century Israelites. You are not going the way that God has planned things for this world. It's like using a sat-nav. When you take a wrong turn, it tells you to make a U-turn. You need to go in the opposite direction. Peter is saying the same thing. You have gone the wrong way. Turn back to God and his plans. Who are these people Peter was talking to? If you go back to chapter 2, verse 5, you can see now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. So he's talking to very religious people. Being religious is not good enough for Peter. Going to a church or a temple or a mosque, going on a pilgrimage, reading the Bible, not good enough. Recognizing Jesus as a teacher or a prophet, not good enough. For Peter, anyone who does not recognize Jesus as king must turn back to God. So if you look down again at verse 38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you who doesn't recognize Jesus as King and Lord, every one of you, repent and be baptized. Repentance is the first step to Christian life. When we acknowledge God as God and Jesus as our Lord, Jesus as my Lord and my everlasting King. Peter said, repent and be baptized. And baptism is a public acknowledgement that we have got it wrong about God and Jesus. We have got ourselves dirty before God and would like cleansing and want to leave our life for Jesus, our King. That was what Peter called his audience to do. And to those who are willing to repent and be baptized, Peter said there is a promise from God that we'll look at our next heading. Jesus can forgive and offer the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if Peter says, if you can say that you have got it wrong before God and God is right in making Jesus as the King forever, and if you turn to God to help, Peter says in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And verse 39, he says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So Peter understands it's just not for the first century audience, but even those who are far off in different countries, different generation. So even for us in Dagenham in the 21st century, what Peter is saying is, for those who repent of their understanding of Jesus and look to him as God's King and Savior, God will offer forgiveness and his gift of the Holy Spirit. If you repent, Peter says, the promise is sure for us. We will receive forgiveness and new life and the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes from Jesus Christ, the King. So everyone who repents receives the free gift of forgiveness. Everyone who is forgiven by God, Peter says at the same time, receives the free gift of the Holy Spirit. So some people might argue you receive forgiveness from God at one time, and later on you need another anointed man of God to offer you a second blessing of the Holy Spirit. Their understanding is that there are two groups of Christians. One group of Christians who do have the Holy Spirit, but they only have to a certain percentage. But there are another group of Christians who, after the anointed man puts their hands on them, they will have the 100% anointing of the Holy Spirit. But in the Bible, we understand Holy Spirit is a person. You can't have part of a person with you at one time. Just like you can say, 30% of my father-in-law is coming this week from Malaysia, and in 2 months' time, the next 70% of the father-in-law will come to visit me. Once you repent and become a Christian, Jesus offers forgiveness and sends the Holy Spirit to live with us. You don't need to go on a quest to find more of the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, because he's the person who lives with us if we acknowledge that we have got it wrong. The first step is just to say, I'm sorry, God, I got it wrong about your son, Jesus Christ. I want to know him as my Lord and Jesus Christ. I want to say sorry to you. I want the gifts that Jesus offers, forgiveness from God and the gift of the Holy Spirit. All that you want to say is that. And you have forgiveness from God and the gift of the Holy Spirit residing with you to guide you towards eternity. So what are you supposed to do? As the first century audience asked Peter, brothers, what are we supposed to do? So if you consider yourself not a Christian, verse 41, it says 3,000 that day accepted the message of Peter. This is something you could think about. It is far more important to recognize who Jesus is than it is to recognize the person of Keir Starmer. For we see in today's Bible passage, Peter tells us about a king who will rule and reign forever. You're never going to run away from his reign, whichever part of the world you run to. Everywhere he's going to reign and rule. It's good to come to terms with who Jesus is. And for all those who repent and to turn to this King Jesus, Peter says, there is a promise for you of forgiveness from God and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian, pray that you'll continue to rejoice in all that God has given you in Christ Jesus. Thank Jesus for the two wonderful gifts he has given you to enjoy. He has given you forgiveness from God, no guilt, no condemnation from God anymore. And he has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice in all that Jesus has done for you. If you have the Holy Spirit, like we saw last week, every one of us who say we have the Holy Spirit, we are called to be like Peter, to take the message of Jesus to others. Maybe some of us have our opportunities to do it in the family, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace. But if you have opportunities in the church, let us all take the opportunity as Holy Spirit-filled people to take the message of Jesus to others, so many will know that Jesus is King and Lord and will walk in step with him. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who answers our prayers. Thank you that you know everything even before we ask. Thank you for all that you do in our lives. We pray for those who are looking into the Christian faith that they will receive forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit from Jesus. And we pray for us as a church that we will continue to be a witness for you and for all that you are planning to do in this world. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.